You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning. President Obama is slated to meet with lenders from small and community banks today at the White House 1 week after meeting with the heads of the major banks. He's likely to make the same request to them as he did to the big banks, which is, please, please lend more. Might be sort of a different tone for the smaller banks than for the big ones, though. Greg Hernandez, spokesman for the FDIC, put 2009 in perspective for the banking industry on Saturday.
So far in 2009, there have been 140 bank failures, the most since 1992 when there were 181, which was the tail end of the savings and loan crisis.
So will small and community banks be able to make more loans as the president is requesting? And secondary to that, maybe primary, how many of them will survive? Joining us is David Gillen, finance editor for the New York Times, and rejoining us, Mike Menzies, president and CEO of a small community bank. That's Eastern Bank and Trust in Eastern Maryland. Mike, you said in the open there that business is good. At least you suggested that business is very good at Eastern Bank and Trust and that you're lending. How many loans, let's say under $10,000, have you made in this quarter versus the same quarter last year? What's the state of your bank right now?
Todd, what I think I said is that real community banks never really stopped lending, and we have not stopped lending. And that is not to say that all community banks aren't going through the correction, the real estate correction, and the economic correction that's going on throughout the nation. But we never stopped lending. We never slowed our lending down in terms of motivating lenders to go find borrowers, to find qualified borrowers. The slowdown is not because community banks haven't always made common sense loans. The slowdown is because we've gone through an economic slowdown.
Just an economic slowdown. But don't small and community banks have trouble borrowing money from other banks, from bigger banks, from Wall Street banks, or is that not a factor?
You know, that's a great question there, Todd, because community banks don't go to the Federal Reserve and borrow a couple hundred billion dollars to carry assets that are already on their books. Community banks are traditional lenders. They gather deposits when loan demand is there, and they make loans. And we've done that all along. And if we need deposits, we can gather deposits with the best of them. So we're not traders. We're not brokers. We're not the classic Wall Street go buy your money and lend your money out type organizations. We're traditional intermediaries, and that's a big difference between community banks and Wall Street.
David Gillen from the New York Times, you heard Mike Menzies. This begs the question as to whether or not the correction that Mike is talking about is perhaps going to a more simplified financial industry as we had in past years, where we don't allow banks to become multi-financial conglomerates that do all of those things.
Well, this is the argument about making banks boring again, making banking boring, getting out of a lot of the financial engineering and so forth that has done so much damage to both the economy and to the financial system. I personally don't think that it's really possible to put that genie back in the bottle, and a lot of the more complicated products that are out there, in fact, people would find credit to homeowners and small businesses would be even tighter perhaps than it is.
And with all of the banking regulations that are being discussed in Washington, repealing Glass-Steagall, meaning separating financial instruments from traditional banking and credit cards, is not under discussion.
It's not under serious discussion.
Not under serious, not from anyone who's actually making any of these decisions. David Gillen from the New York Times, I had another question I wanted to ask you. The president, when he met with the big bankers a couple of weeks ago, reportedly reiterated his point from earlier in the year, which was, the story might be apocryphal now, but was something to the effect, the White House is the only thing standing between you guys and the pitchforks, populist anger. A different message today for the smaller banks, you think?
I think very much so. First of all, you have to recognize that the message from the administration has been increasingly conciliatory since the spring. I think that the meeting with the large banks recently was far friendlier than the previous meetings, or indeed some of the harsher words that came out from the White House in the early part of the year, particularly as it regards to pay and so forth. I think what you have here with the community banks is overall they are trying to lend, but many of them, in fact, do have some problems and some significant problems. And so it's striking a balance, as Mike said, between making prudent loans and just lending to anybody who's got a temperature.
So Mike, if you were in the room today with the president, and I know several of your colleagues will be, and he says, please lend, you say, Mr. President, we have been lending, we're trying, but the economy is bad. What other answer do you have for him?
Well, we tell the president that we're going to continue to do what we've done all along, which is make common sense loans based upon cash flow and the ability of the borrower to repay their debt, and that hasn't changed. But I would like to make a note about what David said. You know, there are 8,100 banks in this nation, 8,100 banks, and the lion's share of those community banks are well-capitalized, well-managed, and well-regulated. And while, yes, we're having a tough time, yes, 140 banks have failed, yes, 500 banks are on the problem loan list, you know, the lion's share of community banks are still very healthy, very strong, and they are lending today. It's just that we have a huge concentration of assets in a few extremely large mega banks, and that's where the core of the banking problem exists.
Well, you mentioned regulation, Mike Menzies, from Easton Bank and Trust in Maryland, and I want to ask you about that because, as you know, I'm positive Congress and the White House are working on overarching banking regulation, most of it targeted to the big financial institutions. Is the threat of more regulation holding your bank back?
Holding us back? No. A concern? Absolutely. You know, we are examined by five or six different entities on an ongoing basis. You can't imagine how much energy community banks put into compliance and examination. So hopefully the legislation that comes out of the Senate won't punish the community banks, and it'll be focused on the unregulated part of the banking industry and on those who caused the train wreck.
David Gillen at the New York Times, are the small banks cowering in expectation of regulation from Washington at this point?
I think that Mike made a terrific point there about the concentration of power. Really what you have here is those two big to fail banks that really did cause a lot of the problems. I think institutions like Mike's are, you know, they're hoping that they're not too small to succeed. And I don't think the threat of regulation will hold them back from lending. That is their business.
All right, there's your takeaway. Too big to fail versus too small to succeed. Community and small banks maybe as much of a victim of the financial crisis as any of us, as people go to small banks to try to get loans for their small businesses and homes. Mike Menzies is president and CEO of a small community bank. That's Easton Bank and Trust in Maryland, joined us. And David Gillen is finance editor for the New York Times. Thank you both for joining us. And now here's a look at some of the headlines.